My brothers and sisters, even in our times of greatest grief and sadness, there is still comfort and hope. The Scripture says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourselves with Christ." In her baptism, Barb was clothed with Christ, and in the day of Christ's coming, she shall be clothed in glory. "For I am convinced," said the apostle, "that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Be seated, please. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on this earth. We are given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. Life in all of its beauty is like the flower of a field. Grass withers, flower fades, but your word will stand forever. And this is our hope, for you are our God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us, caring for us. You feed your flock like a shepherd. You gather your lambs into your arms and carry them in your bosom. You are the shepherd who gently leads the mother sheep home. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from the book of the prophet Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And hear the words of forgiveness from the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Our second scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" Then the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts today be acceptable in your sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. These famous words from Micah 6:8, they are a motto. They're a motto for many Christians and inspiration for thousands. People from all walks of life and all over the world try to follow these three precepts, myself included. But very few people that I know even came close to fulfilling them in the way that Barb did. I first got to know Barb well when I came to Central Reformed Church a little over 2 years ago. I had started an armchair theologians group, and Barb and her sister Helen, they were faithful attendees of this group. We would always pick a theological book, and we would read and discuss them, usually over dinner at Big Bob's or over a bowl of baba ganoush over at Ostas. The second book that the group picked was Boff's little book on liberation theology. And this book was very much concerned with God's justice. As we discuss scriptures and theology in the book, scriptures that in the book that ultimately led thousands of Christians to be martyred, Barb kept sharing example after example of justice issues right here in Grand Rapids, right in the Reformed Church of America. Barb advocated for justice. She worked hard to make public policies fairer for her neighbors. Even when it wasn't popular or easy, Barb Pekich took this little piece of scripture very seriously. You see, for Barb, justice wasn't simply following the laws of the land or the denomination or changing the laws. It was what you lived. Changing the laws, and even more importantly, it was about changing people's attitudes. When people would call up Hartside asking for a speaker, Barb only agreed to come if she could bring some neighbors along with her to tell their own stories. Barb didn't want to speak for people, but through her living out of justice, she gave others the opportunity to speak. Barb also was a teacher of how to live justly. When Barb's son Bill was in high school, he was often ridiculed by the rival teams for being the only white player on an otherwise black team. Barb taught her son to leave his anger on the field, and how to respect people for how they treated others rather than by the color of their skin. So today when we read Micah 6:8, and in our lives when we strive to do justice as Christians, it may serve us well to take our inspiration from the life of Barb Pekich. The second precept from the Micah passage is that of loving kindness. Barb was extraordinarily kind. She loved to be kind. When she was young, she would ask her parents if she could bring her little sister Helen along with her friends to her high school football games. And then she invited Helen to come up for sibling weekends at Alma College. Barb had the exceptional ability to see the world from other people's perspectives and she would freely give people exactly what it was that they needed. She mothered everyone, worrying about them and their families. She was always asking if they were eating right. Her house was the gathering place for her children and their United Nations group of friends. Every friend that was ever brought home was welcomed. They were treated as if though they belonged there. Some friends even came over for meals several times a week. The Package House door was always open, and the friends would feel so secure they would walk in without knocking and would greet Barb by saying, "Hi, Mom, how are you?" Barb loved hanging out with people. She was a fun-loving person with an extremely goofy side. I'm told that Barb created family traditions, and she would stick Christmas bows on her forehead, and she was remembered distinctly for bouncing up and down in the car, going down the interstate, belting out the song, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog." And if you know Barb, you can picture that. Barb once told me about her strategy for taking car trips with the four Package children. And it's another example of her exceptional insight and her kindness. She knew that the kids would easily get bored on their long interstate journeys. So in the front seat, Barb would pack a big bag filled with small toys, coloring books, and other car-sized diversions. Occasionally even a bigger toy, like a Barbie doll or a Batman action figure, would find their way into the bag. And every time that the Package family would drive across a state line, the bag would open, and the small and extremely important treasures would find their way into the hands of the young Packages in the back seats. By giving her children these small kindnesses, she taught them some very important lessons. The children learned to pay attention to what was going on around them. They learned to read maps and the lay of the land. They learned to eagerly anticipate what was coming in the future and around the bend. The Package kids learned, and they still know, that while what is coming may be a surprise, either big or small, those surprises could be good if you made the best of it. Some of the most special family times were days spent at beachfront cottages, mainly lately on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Even chemotherapy and surgery schedules were bent to accommodate this family time together. For a whole week, or two if they could get it, the Package clan would drink coffee on the deck, read books, play in the ocean, eat and eat and eat, and simply enjoy being together. I'm told that the dolphins and the birds seem to congregate most often in front of those rental cottages. And there are many stories that emerged about Barb's character from these vacations. Once, while they were at the beach and Barb was recovering from ankle surgery and she was restricted to a wheelchair, Barb humbly took it upon herself to clean the salt off of the cottage windows. While the family looked up from the beach at the cottage down from below and they saw this figure in her wheelchair, it was Barb, never complaining, never asking for help, but simply out in her wheelchair, washing windows. Barb's sister Helen also tells another beach story, this one at an earlier cottage. In an attempt to create a beach at a small inland lake, Barb's brother and her husband Bill would slowly and carefully ease their sand-filled wheelbarrows down this big hill. And they would be very deliberate and cautious, go around corners very slowly. But Barb and Helen would dash down the hill with the second wheelbarrow, going full tilt, even launching the wheelbarrow into the air on the drop-off. Barb would always guide the wheelbarrow from the front, barely controlling it on its mad downward descent, yet somehow always managing to deliver the cargo in its proper place. Barb lived her life at full speed, yet she was always kind enough to take you along if you could handle the ride. No sermon about Barb would be complete without taking into account Barb's ministry and her relationship with God. I'm told that two themes were found with greatest frequency in Barb's preaching at Hearthside. The first theme was that God loved you. And the second theme was that you could change the world. In Barb's ministry at Hearthside, she met people every day, people who were having a tough ride in life. Barb was never naive about the pain in the world. She was always full of grace. But there were people who had been rejected by their loved ones, beat up or discarded by their spouses, fired by their employers, or kicked out and told, sometimes cruelly and bluntly, that they couldn't live there anymore. Barb met people who were despised, rejected by others, who often carried with them a lifetime load of guilt and shame. Barb believed that people really did not need to be reminded of their sin. She thought that society did a pretty spectacular job of that already by telling people how bad they were. She saw that the message of "you're no good," often beginning in early childhood, had found its way into the hearts and minds of individuals and somehow, mistakenly, had become a part of their identity. Barb believed that people who already identified themselves as bad and sinful did not need a prayer of confession in the liturgy. Instead, the message of God's unending love and total and complete forgiveness was needed. In order to inspire people to be their best selves and to live up to all of this potential which God had given them, Barb often used Jeremiah 31, the same scripture we read earlier, as the assurance of forgiveness. She encouraged people to live in relationship with God, to love God, and to accept that amazing grace and forgiveness. You see, Barb had the ability to help people look beyond their own brokenness and to see themselves differently. She treated others as a healed and whole person who God loved deeply and completely. She saw people as a person who could live their lives out as God intended their lives to be lived. Now, becoming the person that God created you to be means that you can change the world. In our Matthew passage today, we find the most profound expression of how to live out the gospel in the world. Words that describe Barb's ministry better than anything else can. I can almost hear Barb saying, "When people are hungry, feed them. When they are thirsty, give them something to drink. When someone needs clothes, get them clothes. And when someone is lonely, unknown, sick, or in prison, we're supposed to visit and take care of them." By our actions, we might not be able to solve world hunger or even end the problem of poverty in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but we will change the world for one person. We will be able to better the lives of the people around us. We will be able to, with small and certain steps, grow the kingdom of God in this city. The Grand Rapids Press on Tuesday referenced the now famous story of how at the beginning of her ministry at Hearthside, Barb came to the aid of a neighbor who had been beaten up in the alley. The article mentioned how she wrapped the person in her arms and saw in his face the face of Christ. Our scripture today mentions about seeing Christ in the face of the hungry, the sick, and the imprisoned. But what the press article did not mention was how Barb saw the face of Christ in everyone she met. When Barb looked at you, she could see Christ in you. And it didn't matter if you were disguised in designer suits, fancy cars, or even if you were hiding behind $1,000 sunglasses. Christ was there, and Barb saw that your potential to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God was simply waiting for a chance to be enacted. While Barb's death is a time of great grief and a time for us to mourn the loss of the precious times that could have been spent with her, her entire life's work would be in vain if we do not examine her life and be inspired by it. Barb's commitment to justice, to love and kindness toward others, it all flowed from her heart. Her humble living out of her relationship with God and the gospel, they are a testament to God's great love for every person on this earth. It calls out to us as a model of faithful discipleship here in this place. So beginning today, with your arm around the shoulder of your grieving friends or family, with a cup and a loaf of bread shared with others, with your offers of true friendship and truly caring for and helping others, helping them to live out their full potential, we as God's people in this time and in this place are called to build on the foundations of the work which Christ calls each of us to do. Will you pick up that work that Barb has started? Will you do justice? Will you give love and kindness to all of your neighbors? Will you see the face of Christ and the potential for love and forgiveness in the eyes of the others who look back at you? With God's help, we will. Amen. If you would please stand with me, let us join together in the affirmation of faith. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdom totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Be seated, please. At this time, we would like to invite you, all of you, to partake of the Lord's Supper. Central Reformed Church practices an open communion. If you are sorry for your sins, and if you trust in Christ for your forgiveness, then this is for you, and you are invited to participate. Today we are celebrating communion by intinction. The servers will offer to you a piece of bread. You take the bread, dip it in the cup, partake of both elements simultaneously. We will be serving communion here at the front on either side of the center aisle, and I'd like to ask you to proceed to the front by the center aisle. Return to your seats by the side aisles. We're also, for those in the balcony and those sitting in the rear, we're going to be serving communion in the rear, again, on either side of the center aisle. And again, if you would proceed by the center aisle, return to your seats by the side aisles. And if you are unable to come to the front or to the rear, that's okay. Just stay where you're at, and we will bring the elements to you. I'd like to read now from the Liturgy of the Reformed Church the meaning of the sacrament of which we are about to partake. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the supper we are about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance and of communion and of hope. We come in remembrance that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent by God into the world to assume our flesh and blood and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death on the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he has established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation so that we might be accepted by God and never forsaken by God. We come to have communion with this same Christ who has promised to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us into life eternal. And in the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. And we come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and a foretaste of the feast of love of which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come, and when with unveiled face we shall behold him and be made like unto him in his glory. And since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Holy Spirit who unites all of us in one body, so are we to receive this supper in true love for one another, mindful of the communion of the saints. Join me, please, now in the communion prayer. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty, to give thanks to you at all times and in all places, O Lord, our Creator, almighty and everlasting God. You created heaven with all its hosts and the earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being, and you preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, made flesh for us and for our salvation. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior, who has reconciled us to you, we praise and we bless you, O God, and with your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and we adore your glorious name. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of His resurrection and in expectation of His coming again, we offer ourselves to You as holy and living sacrifices, and together we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ will. Send Your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and the blood of Christ, and grant that, being joined together in Him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that Your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into Your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And after He had given thanks for the bread, He broke it and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is My body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me."
In the same manner also, after they had supped, He took the cup. And He said, "This cup is the New Testament of My blood. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of Me." Come, for all things are now ready. Let us join together in the communion thanksgiving, the prayer of thanksgiving found in your bulletin. Almighty God, we thank You that in Your great love, You have fed us with the spiritual food and drink, the body, the blood, Your Son, Jesus Christ, and have given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. Grant that this sacrament may be for us comfort in affliction, and a pledge of our inheritance, and that in your death neither sorrow nor crime, but the fullness of joy with all your saints, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Be seated, please. Holy God, by your creative power you gave us life, and in your redeeming love you have given us new life in Jesus Christ. We commend Barbara to your loving care. She is a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock. Receive her into your arms of love, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light.
Will you please pray with me? Loving God, you came down to earth and walked among us. We are grateful for your presence here on earth. You are acquainted with all of our sorrows and our grief. You consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. So draw near to us who mourn for Barb, and dry the tears of those who weep. For you too wept at the grave of Lazarus, your friend, and you are the one who comforts us in our sorrow. You are the resurrection and the life, and you gave our sister Barb eternal life. You promised paradise to the repentant thief. Bring Barb to the joys of heaven. Our sister Barb was washed in baptism and anointed with the Holy Spirit. Give her communion with all of your saints. She was nourished at your table on earth. Welcome her at your table in the heavenly kingdom. Comfort us in our sorrow at the death of Barb. Let our faith be our consolation and eternal life our hope. We pray now for that person who is sitting on our left. Give them a sense of your love and your peace in their grief. We pray also for that person who is sitting to our right. Help them to know you more closely, and have your love help dry their tears. And finally, we pray for ourselves. Help us to always seek your face, to live our lives in the shadow of your presence. Help us to answer the call that you have given us to do justice, to love kindness, and to always walk humbly with you. We close with the words that you taught to your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. O God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all of your servants who, having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. There is a great company of those who have kept the faith. They have finished their race and now rest from their labor. Barb has now joined the communion of saints and is one of the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. All praise be to God forevermore. Amen.
Whoever you are, wherever you go in God's wide world, whatever happens to you of good or of ill, always remember that
Jesus is Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. And now may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine down with love upon you. May God grant to all of us peace. Amen.